Good evening, everyone. Thank you for braving the elements. We will be having our budget meeting, and we will rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, excuse me. Before we start, I just want to, Mr. DiFilippo is not attending this evening. He's been away for the better part of the month, might be back within a month. He's serving in his role on, as part of FEMA in Mississippi. So he asked that, he asked everyone on the board except me to remind me to say that. So, you're all witnesses. I said it. No, he is certainly doing important work, I believe, down in Mississippi.
That's right. So this is our second budget meeting. We are ably led in all of these enterprises by our own Dr. Rufo, and I'm going to turn the meeting over to her.
Good evening. We're going to start our second budget meeting. This evening, we're going to go through the administrative section. Our goal of the budget for 16-7, we'd want to preserve student opportunities. We're rebuilding for the future while maintaining our fiscal health. Some of the budget drivers this year, the tax cap, the estimated growth factor. Last year we had an estimate in there of zero, and we have a revised estimate, and it's 0.12%, so not quite zero, but slightly above zero. Our pension costs for TRS and ERS are declining. However, some of that is offset with increases in health insurance premiums. I talked a little bit last month about the LIPA properties, and last month the Board of Education approved for SIASA to join 16 other school districts in a suit led by Ingerman Smith, led by Carrie Ann Tondo, and that case continues. We did receive half of our pilot money, less about, I think, $36,000, but so far we did. A lot of unanswered questions remain, particularly how this change will impact the tax cap formula. The formula is due to the State Comptroller's Office on March 1st, so we're hoping to have an answer soon so that we can proceed. I won't go through this formula line by line because I've done that in the past several times, but I will point out where it has changed. And you'll notice that a tax base growth factor this year, which is sort of your bricks and mortar increase in your district, is 0.45. Once we get our allowable levy growth factor, we can multiply that by the current estimate, which I mentioned before is 0.12%. There's still some uncertainty involving the pilots. The pilots come in and out of the formula the prior year and then the current year, and the current year and then the 16-17. We don't have information yet from the county on a final number for 16-17. We have a pilot that's coming off, but these typically do renew, so we're waiting for confirmation from the county. Last month, we had a tax levy, allowable levy of about 0.45, so given that we went from zero to 0.12, we're now at about 0.49%. In terms of the budget sections, tonight we're going to look at administration, and we have some state aid numbers as well. So we can go right into the codes. We start with Board of Education, which is code 1010. And just let me take a step back, just by way of review. The 100 object codes are salaries, 200s are equipment, 400 are contractual expenses, and 500 are supplies. So the Board of Education code, this code contains expenses incurred by the Board of Education in the performance of their duties, including any necessary training and typical memberships in national and state organizations. You can see, if you squint, that the code remains relatively unchanged from the prior year. 1060 is for district meetings. This is the code that contains expenses for the budget vote. And that code also remains relatively unchanged. And we have in there the anticipated expenses for the use of scanning machines. This will be, this budget year will be the first year that we use the optical scanning machines. 1040 is the code for the district clerk, who serves as the school district's legal officer responsible for receiving legal documents. And that district clerk also has a key role in the budget vote and annual election. And the increase in the code is due to salary adjustments. 1240 is the chief school administrator. This code contains expenses for the office of the superintendent, and the increase in this code reflects salary adjustments for the clerical staff. 1310 contains expenses for the management of the financial affairs of the district. Expenses here include salary for the assistant superintendent for business, the treasurer, and other office staff. And contractual services and supplies are also included in here. And the increase in this code is essentially attributable to salary adjustments, as well as BOCE services required for GASB 45, which is auditing reporting, were previously budgeted in the audit code, but they really should roll up into the 1310-490 code here. 1320 is our auditing code, which contains expenses for the required auditing that the district has to do, which includes our independent auditor that reviews the district's financial statements each year, the claims auditor that reviews all of the district's claims, and the internal auditor that reviews the internal controls of the district. And the decrease in this code reflects the fact that the district did an RFP for an independent auditor, and the decrease reflects favorable rate adjustments as a result of that RFP. 1345 is the purchasing office, and the increase in this code primarily reflects contractual salary adjustments. This code includes both accounts payable and purchasing departments. The purchasing office runs bid and reviews and approves compliance with Board of Education purchasing policy, and they process thousands of purchase orders for supplies, materials, and services for the school district each year. 1346 code contains expenses for necessary legal operations to keep the district running, and the code remains relatively unchanged from the prior year. 1346. The personnel office is responsible for their recruitment and orientation for all district personnel and for the maintenance of personnel records. The decrease in this code reflects reduced expenditures for print advertising as a result of the continued use of BOCES online application services. 1347. Community relations code. This includes expenses for the public relations firm that the district uses to assist us with website updates and publications of school district newsletters that keep the community informed about school functions and district operations. The increase in this code reflects just a reclassification of printing expense previously recorded in the next code, the Central Printing and Mailing Code, which follows 1670. Central Printing and Mailing contains expenses for in-house printing of instructional materials, district-wide forms, as well as costs for printing supplies and postage. And the decrease in this code also reflects some staffing adjustments from the prior year. Clerical expenses for the computer services and payroll departments are included in the central data processing code, and the increase reflects contractual salary adjustments for those employees. Insurance, as you can see there, includes all of the various insurance coverages that the district has as part of its risk management program. And we know that rates change based on claims experience and changes in market rates. The decrease in this code is not necessarily a softening of the market. It's just that this particular year, the 15-16, we had a lower than anticipated increase. So therefore, you see that sort of decrease that we're adjusting for actuals this year. $19.81 is the administrative charge for BOCES, and this reflects the mandated administrative charges allocated to all districts within Nassau BOCES, and we have a decrease in this code reflecting current BOCES estimates that call for a reduction in debt service payments. Curriculum development and supervision includes expenditures for all of the coordination of curriculum development throughout the district, and the increase in this code is primarily due to salary adjustments. Supervision 2020 includes salaries of at all the building levels, the principals, assistant principals, administrative assistants in each of the buildings, as well as the full-time and office staff in the buildings. And the increase in this code is, again, the result of contractual salary adjustments. The next two slides, special education and athletics, these are just the administrative supervision in those codes. And those two are, the increases are based on salary adjustments. And then the unclassified code, which this is the special education and the athletics. That's what I was, both of these are just the administrative supervision components of those functional areas. And then this is the unclassified expenses that are typically unknown at the time. And then, as you can see, they don't have expenditures. These tend to be transferred into other codes. Salary adjustments come out of here and other unanticipated expenses in the administrative area. And so that sort of wraps up the codes that are part of the administrative component of the budget.
Thank you. Regarding the unclassified code, I don't see if for the actual expenditures for 2013-14 and 2014-15, it says zero. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that we didn't use any of that money?
No, that means that, as I said, because it's unclassified and undetermined, it's transferred to other codes, and we typically don't record expenses in these codes. For example, if there was a a salary adjustment for a non-contractual person, you would see that adjustment within one of the codes, not in here, because you would have done a transfer for that. If there was an unanticipated administrative expense, and let's say in supplies, you wouldn't see it recorded here. What you see is the transfer out, and it's recorded into the expense code where the expense occurs.
And is it available for the public to see where those actual expenses went for those
Sure.
years?
Transfers in general are included in the board package as part of the, each transfer is included in the board packet on the appropriation status report each month.
Any additional questions for Dr. Ruffo? Are you continuing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Just have a couple more slides. Revenue is the funding that supports the expenditure plan, and the pie chart is based on 15-16 estimated revenue, which is very similar so far to what we predict for the for 16-17 in general. We have a state aid that represents about 5%, the tax levy that represents about 90%, and then local revenue and reserves make up the rest of the revenue pie, if you will. And our state aid projection, again, this is the original projection or the governor's proposal, is really about an $800,000 increase from our current year. And it's in two primary areas. About half is in the gap elimination adjustment. You can see second to last. They're essentially reducing the amount that they are taking out in that. And then the other $400,000 is sort of distributed among the expense-based aid. The largest component of our state aid is the foundation aid, and that remains flat from the current year. And you know that we'll get another revenue update probably in March. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Did you account on this revenue side for a total elimination of the GEA or only partial?
In this revenue estimate, shows that we're getting a deduction, if you will, in the gap elimination adjustment, which is essentially, it's a reduction of $880,000 versus last year, it was about $1.2 million,
I know the state budget is going to be, if it's on time, will be April 1st, isn't it? And mm-hmm. Our legislators are assuring us that they're going to insist that it be totally eliminated. So mm-hmm. If in fact that happens,
Then it would be the 800, if that happens, then we would gain $880,000.
One question. Is it too early in the budget season to have a sense of how much in reserves you might need to use to bring us in, you know, at or below the tax cap, which is basically infinitesimally small?
I think that we will use, if we just can talk, and again, it's still early.
Absolutely.
But we would probably be decreasing our restricted reserves just because the expenses, our biggest reserve that we use of the restricted reserves is ERS. And as our ERS expense has gone down, mm-hmm. we will have to use less of that particular reserve. So on the other hand, if we remember from our capital review last month of the capital, I had a placeholder in there of about $4 million for the roofs. And we talked about having the need to determine would we use that by running it through the budget, and if we do, I would need to have an allocation of fund balance for that. So if it remains in the budget, then I would have to have the revenue to support that. So if in that scenario, we would be increasing the amount of let's say, applied fund balance. So the restricted is probably going to be close, a little less. If we keep the capital, the $4 million in for the roofs, we'll have to increase the amount of appropriated fund balance to offset that.
So last year we used, what, about $3 million, was it?
Yeah, we used about, let me just, we used about 960, two, let's just say 2.5. Wait, you know what? I don't have to. 2.4 or 2.5. Let's just say 2.5 because it's just an easier number to deal with. So if it's 2.5, and then we wanted to have $4 million for the roof, and then maybe another $1.5 million, because that's what we had, about $1 million, $1.5 million in, let's just call it appropriated, not for a specific purpose. And then we added the roof, so that was another $1 million. So we had $1.5 million of appropriated in just for general use, plus another $1 million for the roof, so that was 2.5. So if we follow that pattern, we would say, okay, let's keep the 1.5 for just general fund balance, but now we're going to add $4 million for the roof, so that would be $5.5 million. So, yeah.
Dr. Ruffel, can I ask the question a different way, just for clarity's sake? How much will the non-roof driven portion of the reserve change?
Not significantly. It'll be about 1.5.
Same as last year?
Same as last year, give or take.
I think that's the number you're trying to get at.
Just the ballpark of
what
we're likely to use. Any additional questions for Dr. Ruffel?